If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Fantasy football breakouts and busts. It's officially fantasy football draft season. Today, we're going to review an article I put out recently over on Reddit about the QB tendencies, how they target the slot first wide, and how it can impact our fantasy teams in 2022. Before I get into that today for part three of this series, let's talk about following across the board at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube, IG, and TikTok. We got a bunch of daily content dropping on those platforms. So please, if you're watching this video, if you're listening online, if you go check out our articles on Razzball.com, make sure you jump on over to the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel. We are dropping daily content every single day. Also, make sure you're going to Razzball.com. We don't want to forget about all the great written content we have over there as well. We also have brand new tools like the ADP Pricer. Before you go draft your fantasy teams this weekend, jump on over to Razzball.com. Check out the ADP Price tool. We have six different sites with all consensus ADP that you need to know, helps you find out where to find value in your drafts based on platform. But without further ado, let's start the show. All right, folks, today's episode is the first of a kind Razzball solo pod for me. I'll be jumping on today to talk about my articles I recently released over on Reddit. You can check them out in the description of this video. We are going to be talking about the Football Outsiders slot versus wide. So shout out to Football Outsiders. They have a great article. You can also find that in the link in the description on YouTube. But we just want to bring this to your attention. This is a really good article. It talks about the tendencies of quarterbacks. And today we're really just looking at the changes at QB and or skill position players to talk about how it's going to impact us for fantasy. So really, it's to help us find breakouts, sleepers, and potential busts based on the tendencies of a quarterback and how successful they are throwing to the slot and out wide. Now, I have covered a bunch. Go check out the written content. You can actually look at, there's in the link in the description. You can hop over to Reddit. I did it. Shout out to the Reddit community. I did it for them. There's a bunch of content on there right now with about 12 different scenarios, quarterbacks, impact on wide receivers. Today, we're talking about six more. This is part three of this series. All video, pretty excited about it. Today, we're going to be talking about Jalen Hurts, his impact on A.J. Brown. We're going to talk a little bit about Jameis Winston and Michael Thomas. Jump down to Jacoby Brissett. I think one of the most overlooked aspects of the Watson situation is, what should we expect from Jacoby Brissett weeks 1 through 11? We're going to cover that today's show. We're going to talk about Marcus Mariota and Kyle Pitts, Trevor Lawrence and Christian Kirk. And then we're going to dabble a little bit in Trey Lance and Jimmy G. But unfortunately, Trey Lance did not qualify for Football Outsiders analysis last year because he didn't throw enough. So we're going to have to kind of improvise just a little bit there. Let's jump down to the first team we're going to cover in today's show. The Philadelphia Eagles. Now, you saw in the thumbnail, does Hurts, Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown. First of all, if you know Razzball, we're just top-notch when it comes to punts. But when I wanted to take a look at this, really, it's just from trying to look at it from a lens of what's the Ryan Tannehill and Jalen Hurts impact. Now, of course, Nick Sirianni, the head coach, comes from Philadelphia, from the Indianapolis Colts, but he coached with Frank Wright all the way back to his days in San Diego with the Chargers. And now we could expect A.J. Brown to play a similar role that Michael Pittman has, and it's mostly on the perimeter. Now that's going to be key. Now, when you're looking at the stats, and I always suggest go to Football Outsiders, check out this article, click the link in the description, go see it for yourself. But I'm just going to tell you what I found in my analysis. So first off, Ryan Tannehill versus Jalen Hurts. The one thing that you're going to notice right away is that Jalen Hurts does not target the slot nearly close to what Ryan Tannehill does. Tannehill, roughly 64% of his targets go to the outside, 11% lower for Hurts. So Hurts will be willing to challenge the perimeter, which is good news for A.J. Brown. So if he plays that Michael Pittman role in this offense, you're probably looking at, 80% plus of his routes will be on the outside. So I think from a volume standpoint, A.J. Brown is fine. Where you're going to start seeing kind of the red flags is success rate. And as much as we want to pretend, when targeting the outside, look, Ryan Tannehill is one of the top perimeter target guys in this entire analysis. He's actually top five in DVOA over the last 5 years. So I charted 2017 to 2021. Now, if you want to see the background, go to part one series on Reddit. I actually break down everything there. But yeah, just from an explanation standpoint, just letting you know that I basically used the last 5 years. And Tannehill has been very good targeting the outside. Jalen Hurts was not. Jalen Hurts was actually a lot more successful targeting the middle of the field last year versus the perimeter. So from a success rate, you're probably looking at maybe a slight bump in volume for A.J. Brown from a volume standpoint on the perimeter. But the success that he had with Ryan Tannehill is not going to be replicated. So in some ways, you could say they might cancel out. I think the bigger issue for a guy like A.J. Brown is going to be his target competition with Devonta Smith and Dallas Goedert. Now, 2020, Corey Davis was solid that season, and so was Jonnu Smith. But at the same time, I just think that mobility is going to impact him as well because Jalen Hurts is going to run. But from a pass volume standpoint, I do believe that you might see a cancelization. I think A.J. Brown will get a little more targets than he saw with a guy like Ryan Tannehill because of the tendency to throw it to the perimeter more. But the success is not going to be there. I think that Tannehill was an elite thrower to the perimeter. So I think for overall, still drafting A.J. Brown in the back of the third round. But I just feel like in fantasy football, unfortunately, you're either all in on a guy or all out. Because in the third round, I'm taking the Mikes. I'm taking Mike Evans in the early third, Michael Pittman in the middle of third, and Mike Williams at the end of the third round. So I guess I'm out on A.J. Brown in that sense. But I still think he's a top 36 player. I'm still in on A.J. Brown. If all the Mikes are gone, I'm probably taking a lot of A.J. Brown in 2022. Let's jump down to the New Orleans Saints and talk a little bit about Jameis Winston. And I really just want to focus on Michael Thomas today. I know a lot of people are going to say that Chris Olave and Jameis Winston's style. Now, you got to understand something. Jameis Winston with the Bucs was no risk it, no biscuit. He was with the two most pass-heavy coordinators in Dirk Koetter and Bruce Arians. His style of play was just rip and rip. Throw that ball deep, let's go. He was not like that last year in New Orleans. They were very conservative, play action, played off the run. He did take his shots deep from time to time. Now, he does have the talent this year, but this offense was extremely conservative. Do not hesitate. I mean, Jameis Winston went 30 for 30. He 30 touchdowns, 30 interceptions his last season in Tampa Bay, but they threw the ball a ton, and they will not do that in New Orleans. But I just want to look at Breeze in 2018, we have his data here the last time, 2018-19, the last time that Michael Thomas was really involved here, and also Jameis Winston's success. Now, the one thing you're going to learn right away is that you're going to see about a 7% dip in slot versus perimeter. Now, Michael Thomas is going to play a lot in the slot. 7% doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're talking about 500 attempts minimum, you're looking at anywhere from 35 to 40 more attempts going to the perimeter with Jameis Winston. So just keep that in mind. Like, it doesn't 7% doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're throwing the ball between five and 600 times in a season, 35 to 40 targets is a significant number. And if that starts going to the perimeter, and listen, we don't know what Jarvis Landry. Landry's a primary slot guy too. We don't know if they're going to mix and match. I get that. But that's something to really factor in here. You're going to see more throws going to the outside. So I think that's really important to factor in here. Also, success rate. I mean, listen, Drew Brees, the numbers don't lie. Drew Brees is one of the best slot throwers in the NFL. He actually was one of the top guys in the analysis. But surprisingly, so is Jameis Winston. There was only a 7% gap in success rate. Now, I got to pull this up because I do want to make sure we're telling you the exact here. But on average, the DVOA to the slot is 1.2%. That's the average among the 66 players that have been charted by Football Outsiders since 2017, okay? Both Jameis and Drew Brees are inside the top 12, and Brees is number two in that metric over that span. Now, Jameis number 11 is not bad, but it's still a drop-off. So you're going to see a 7% dip in success rate and 7%. Now, can you quantify that? Probably not. It's hard to quantify 7% drop in DVOA, but this is just something to keep in the back of your mind. Not only does he have more target competition, the offense is a little more conservative with Jameis Winston last year than it was years prior with Michael Thomas and Drew Brees. But also, you have to factor in that the guy throwing him the football tends to throw the ball a little bit more to the outside and is less successful when targeting the middle of the field. It was the perfect storm for Michael Thomas. No target competition, a quarterback that's elite at throwing to the slot, and tends to lean to the slot more. So I think that's something you have to keep in mind. Now, Michael Thomas's ADP is like fifth, sixth round. I totally understand. Not interested. I just think that this year, I'm going to take a wait and see approach. I'd rather be wrong about Michael Thomas this year with the competition of Jarvis Landry. But if Michael Thomas finishes as a wide receiver too, and Landry walks after this season, then maybe he's a buy in dynasty. All right, let's jump down to number three in this list. It's Cleveland Browns. So Jacoby Brissett is a interesting name here because I think a lot of people are excited about Watson. Watson will be coming back after his 11-game suspension, I believe, because of the bye. That's week 13. I'm not 100% sure about that, but either way. But so for the most part, what is there to expect from Jacoby Brissett versus Baker Mayfield? Now, Brissett does lean a little bit more to the slot. Not significantly, though. It's about 3% difference. I mean, 3.5% is nothing crazy. You know, over a 500 pass volume, I mean, that's 15 to 20 targets. Nothing significant from a slot versus wide. But unfortunately, Baker was surprisingly very good at targeting his success rate. I mean, his success rate to the slot is 5.3%. Jacoby Brissett minus 12.1. Now, this is harder to quantify because of the fact that there's a new – Amari Cooper's the new number one. Amari Cooper never played with Jacoby Brissett, Watson, or Baker. I think – so for today, I really just want to focus more on, like, David Njoku. Now, I talked a lot about Njoku as my must-have tight end. Go check out that video on Razzball Fantasy on YouTube and also on the audio side. I talk about Njoku because, listen, Brissett has had a top six season for Jack Doyle. He also had a solid double-digit fantasy point production for Mike Gesicki last year in his starts. So I do think that Njoku, because of the tendency, listen, 62% of Jacoby Brissett's targets go to the middle of the field. That is higher than Baker. So he does lean more slot heavy than Baker Mayfield does. Jacoby Brissett in the analysis is 19th in slot rate among 66 qualified quarterbacks. So he does throw the ball to the middle of the field. I think that's why you see a lot of production from his tight ends, from Jack Doyle to Mike Gesicki. So I do think Njoku, because of this tendency early on in the season, I do think that he is someone that I am willing to put on my team as my high end, as my QB1 to start the year, even though Watson will not be involved late. So I do think that's something to keep in mind in your drafts, that Jacoby Brissett does lean a little more slot heavy. And we have seen this offense in Cleveland with Kevin Stefanski feature the tight end position. So I do believe it's actually good news for David Njoku. It's going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
This is Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, folks, let me tell you that drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that will change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
A little pump-up music on just to give me a sip of water. I like it. It's good for the audio side, too. A little commercial break. Anyway, jumping down to Atlanta Falcons. Now, what's the impact that Marcus Mariota will have on Kyle Pitts? Well, I wanted to take a look at Matt Ryan versus Marcus Mariota in general. The one thing that is good news for Pitts. Now, Pitts is a tight end, number one, I will tell you. Will play mostly in the slot or in line. That's where he's going to be most of the time. Not a lot of his snaps will be out wide. This is great news because Mariota targets the slot 4% higher than Matt Ryan does. So that is great news. Also, there isn't much of a delta between the two guys when it comes to DVOA. About a 5% delta in DVOA overall between Matt Ryan. Yes, Matt Ryan, of course, is more successful at throwing to the slot than Marcus Mariota. That's kind of obvious. But I'm surprised to see Mariota he's above average throwing to the slot. 2.5% DVOA when thrown to the slot is above average. He's 31 among 66 qualified QBs. And Matt Ryan is good. Don't get me wrong. Matt Ryan is 21. But I think the takeaway here is, remember, he does, Mariota tends to lean to the slot a little bit more. So even though there is a drop-off in success rate from Matt Ryan to Marcus Mariota, the great news is that he can make up with it with a little more volume. So Pitts, forget about, I think Pitts for me in the third round, I love it. I do like Pitts. I have a hard time passing up on guys like Michael Pittman in the middle of the third. So I don't get a lot of Kyle Pitts, unfortunately. I haven't had him in any teams yet. I've been getting the mics. I brought this up earlier in the podcast. So, but Pitts to me is a solid third round pick. I love Kyle Pitts this season. I think Marcus Mariota, listen, Delanie Walker, folks, was a perennial top 5 to 6 tight end with Marcus Mariota. Trust me, Kyle Pitts is a locked and loaded top 3 tight end this season, and he could push number 1. He is an absolute freak. The tendencies you see here, good news is Mariota might be a little worse than Matt Ryan was targeting the slot last year. However, I think they make it up with volume, which makes Kyle Pitts a rock-solid pick in the third round. Now, San Francisco, we're going to have to get creative with, because Trey Lance there was not charted by Football Outsiders, so I don't have success rate for them at all. But what I can tell you is about Jimmy G. Jimmy G is the number 2 quarterback in slot rate, according to Football Outsiders, over the last 5 seasons. Jared Goff's number 1 at 73%. Number 2 is Jimmy Garoppolo at 71%. They're the only 2 quarterbacks over 70%. So they throw to the middle of the field a ton. That is good news for guys like Kittle that play in the middle of the field. Now, you know, Debo and Ayuk are all over the place. They line up everywhere. Debo's in the backfield, for God's sake. And Debo went off last year. So I think from that standpoint, and when you're looking at Garoppolo, his slot versus deep slot DVOA versus wide DVOA is absolutely insane. Like, so just to give you perspective, okay, Jimmy Garoppolo was not only the number 2 slot rate thrower, he was the number 1 in success rate over the last 5 years. So over the last 5 years of charted data, he's number 1, 22% success rate. Elite. He is elite when it comes to throwing to the slot. Okay? Now let's jump down to out wide. Okay? He was charted as 56 among 66 when out wide. Right there alone, I could tell you now the narratives are probably going to be true. Number 1, Trey Lance will throw to the outside more. Number 2, Trey Lance will probably be more successful throwing out wide. Who does that benefit the most? Probably Brandon Ayuk. I do believe that Jimmy G has delivered more passes. He will throw. I think you're probably going to lose some volume because I think Trey Lance is going to run the ball probably 10 times a game. I mean, probably. So that right there, instead of Jimmy G dropping back, throwing to his tight end, throwing it to the middle of the field, those will probably come scrambles. But at least from a success rate and or targets to the outside, it sounds like Trey Lance, there's very, very little chance that Trey Lance is going to target the slot and or be more successful at throwing to the slot than Jimmy G. So you got to give Jimmy G credit. In the middle of the field, he knew where he was good, and he definitely delivered throwing the football to guys like George Kittle and Debo Samuel in the middle of the field. But it sounds like to me, based on what we're seeing, it's probably going to be Brandon Ayuk as the one that benefits. Now, the question comes, how much higher should you draft Brandon Ayuk? I am not going crazy for Brandon Ayuk. I think for me, unfortunately, as much as I could see the success building, I've talked about this a bunch. The Shanahan scheme, you know, last year Debo went off and that was awesome. I think overall over the past few years, the top 2 weapons have been right around 15 points per game in PPR. For wide receivers, that's like low-end wide receiver 2 numbers. That's not bad. But George Kittle is not going anywhere. I don't think that Brandon Ayuk necessarily in the first season with Trey Lance is going to be – I think he's going to be extremely volatile. I prefer him in best ball, but I don't think I'm going to be targeting a lot of Brandon Ayuk. Give me Alan Lazard. I know that's my bold take of the year. But I do believe over time that Brandon Ayuk will benefit from this move to Trey Lance, and I do think from a dynasty perspective that Brandon Ayuk is a buy. He might not have the best first year with Trey Lance, but I think long-term – the tendency to move away from a slot-heavy thrower like Jimmy G to a guy like Trey Lance will benefit him in Dynasty. All right, let's go to the last one, Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, I think really what we want to talk about is the Christian Kirk versus his move to the Jags. Now, Trevor Lawrence versus Kyler Murray on surface is not good. I mean, Trevor Lawrence was an absolute dumpster fire last year. Success rate DVOA had him as a very, very big time negative, not only in the slot, but first out wide. Kyler Murray is pretty good in both those. So Kyler Murray is an above average slot thrower, and he's also above average success rate on the perimeter. Now, Trey Lance, I want to give Trevor Lawrence a pass. Unfortunately, we should not always do that, but I will give him a pass from last year. Where you might see a little bit of a uptick is that Trevor Lawrence does about 3% higher target the middle of the field. Now, 3% is not much. I will say that that's nothing crazy. But when you start diving into last season, we did see that when he had his healthy weapons, that he did kind of lean more towards the slot. Now, Laviska Shenault. So remember, DJ Chark got hurt last year. I think it was week four. But weeks 1 through 4, when they had DJ Chark, Marvin Jones, and Laviska in the slot, Laviska was averaging nearly 7 targets a game. I think it's a complete afterthought. He did not score touchdowns, and he didn't do much. He was averaging over 50 yards a game, or close to 50 yards a game, or whatever it was. But my point is, he was getting 7 targets a game. Now, you give a good player like Christian Kirk 7 targets a game, he's going to do a lot more with it. That thing is key. The other crazy part is, once DJ Chark got hurt, Laviska went to the outside, and Jamal Agnew comes in. Jamal Agnew from weeks 5 through 10 before his own injury, was averaging 6 targets a game, but he was also the best fantasy wide receiver because he was getting touches on the ground too in that game for that team. He was the best fantasy wide receiver. So guys like Jamal Agnew and Laviska are getting 6 to 7 targets a game. I do believe that Trevor Lawrence did show his hand a little bit last year, but now you infuse a guy, not only who got paid, a new coaching staff who went in and got him, and you saw what you saw in the preseason. Now, the question comes, let's hop over to razzball.com, because I do want to look at the current ADP for a guy like Christian Kirk, because I think I'm going to start trying to get Kirk as much as I can. I know DT brought him up in our mid-round buys. And I think from that standpoint, I want Kirk as much as I can. So I do believe you can get Kirk in the 7th, 8th round. But let's just hop over here right now. And by the way, make sure you're going to razzball.com for your ADP. I'm actually going to share my screen. I'm going to show you why. Just 1 second. So razzball.com, what we did here, and let me just make sure the view is good for you. I should have used Google Chrome. Because I don't really know. Oh, here we go. There we go. All right. This is going to be great on the audio side. Everyone must be thinking I'm losing my damn mind. All right, so here we go. So this is razzball.com ADP. The best part, too, is we do a rock-solid job of combining consensus between multiple sites. Let me take off the overlay. There we go. Now we're cooking. Now things are making sense. So basically what we did here is we created a 6 consensus sites. We do everything from Best Ball 10s, NFC Underdog, ESPN Sleeper, Yahoo, and then we compile it into some consensus, compared it to the previous week, and then the ADP change. The coolest part about this thing, guys, and I don't think a lot of people have seen the demo we did, is that you could type in the player name that you want to see. So I want to see Kirk. It comes right up. You get Kirk, and then you can see where he goes. 89th on Best Ball 10s, 75th on NFC. You see that the sleeper ESPN is lagging. But the best part is, yeah, it's lagging a little bit. But now I know that usually that if I'm drafting in a 12-team league, that at the 6-7 turn, I need to pull the trigger on Kirk if I'm high on him, because that's round pick 72. So if I'm a 12-team league and I have the first pick in the 7th round, I will take Kirk there because I want Kirk on my team. Because I know that once you start getting more sharper drafts, you're probably going to have to take him in that. He's not going to make it around to you to the next pick. So that's the cool thing about razzball.com. You can type in the names. You also could do it by position. So if I wanted to see what wide receiver he was, I type in wide receiver in this top left here, and then it actually refilters all the numbers. And now I can see where Kirk is on here. So he's wide receiver 41, which is really cool. So I love that piece. And of course, you can export it. You can export it. You can pop it up. You can do a download, and it actually downloads right on your screen, which is literally the fuck. It's amazing. Honestly, should have did a better job pushing this. Honestly, it's an amazing tool. We update it every few days. Last update was the 29th. I'll probably update it again at some point this weekend so everyone can get some more information for the weekend's drafts. But this is a really cool tool, so go check it out over on RazzBall.com. But that's really it. I think from my perspective that I would like to get Christian Kirk as well because of these tendencies. I think Kyler Murray was more successful. I do see, though, that last year that main slot receiver, whoever it was pretty much getting a plenty of looks to where they could be fantasy viable. I think 7 targets a game in a 17-game season, you know, that gets you to 120 targets. And I think that's for a guy like Christian Kirk, that's going to make him a wide receiver 3 at minimum. And at his current wide receiver 41 ADP, you're going to get value. And if if they take another step and Lawrence plays better and then, Kirk gets more looks, you're going to start approaching top 24 numbers. So I do love Kirk in the Browns. All right, that's all we got for today, folks. Once again, this is the reviewing of quarterback tendencies to help you find breakout wide receivers, tight ends, and busts for fantasy football. Once again, I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. Make sure you go subscribe. Guys, subscribe to the YouTube channel at this point. I mean, come on. We're dropping videos on a Saturday morning. I have a cup of coffee, walk the dog, and go on my ear to talk to you about some additional analysis we have. Make sure you jump on, subscribe to the RazzBall Fantasy YouTube channel. Make sure you jump on IG and TikTok as well. We're dropping daily content there as well. And, of course, make sure you go to RazzBall.com to check out all our tools. We're going to have updated tools and charts during the season. We're going to have a adjusted line yards chart to help you pick out running backs. I'm going to have a slot versus wide defense chart so you can help find out where defenses allow the most points. And I'm also going to think about putting together a routes run to dropbacks chart for tight ends and running backs so you can see who's actually getting the routes. Maybe can help us find value later in the season for some of those, streaming tight ends. Once again, I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. You can follow me at Bobby LaMarco on Twitter. I'm out of here.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.